What the fuck is up? This is wild. What's up?
Wow. We
didn't do a great job of timing the jog to the theme music. That was hard.
I'm truly shook at this crowd. This is amazing. I feel like we did a bad job of promoting.
Oh, I did the worst job. Yeah.
I was prepared for 75 very dedicated sweet whites. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we can finally throw all the white people out.
Yeah.
This is a dream.
No. Wait.
Oh, God.
Sorry, Andrew, no.
Too much. Thank you for coming.
Andrew, we can't throw all the white people out. Not in the Pacific Northwest. Wow, you guys, I'm truly so touched. This is amazing. Thank you so much for coming out. We haven't brought the show here before, but...
No.
I've been to Seattle a lot, so mm-hmm. I think of it as a place where I, like, go, and I'm like, oh, the comedy crowds are great, and I like it here and stuff, but we haven't done this show, so to see this turnout is really touching. I don't know. Say something curmudgeon-y.
No, this is great. Do you guys need a seat? This is too many people. This is like a fire hazard. This feels wrong.
Why are you fire marshaling right now?
Oh, that's my job. That's the secret job. I'm a fire person.
Every sold out show, he's just like, make an aisle.
I'm in the back. I have a list.
Wow. This is very cool. I understand this is a hot day for you all here.
Did you do a weather joke?
I did a weather joke.
Shit.
Because I came in here and the lovely people setting up. First of all, this venue is fantastic. They've already saved our ass once. You don't even need to know. Don't ask. You don't need to know what was wrong. But they fixed it, so they're great.
This place has been successfully deconsecrated, right? We're not... This is no longer...
I don't know. This is tea in my mug.
Yeah.
No, but I came here and all the windows and everything were open and they had fans going and I was like, oh, cool. Like, did it smell? What's going on? And they were just like, no, it's just steaming hot in here. And I was like, okay, yep. I wore a flannel here.
Someone got at me and was like, make sure you wear your flannel.
I did see that.
What is that still a Seattle thing? Flannel? Y'all guys still doing flannel? All right. I didn't realize that was... I think you're right. I just assumed it was just grunge. It's not just grunge. It's functional, if that makes sense.
How dare
that
you...
That makes sense now.
How dare you just grunge?
I don't know.
We haven't done a live show together in a while.
Yeah, you guys are... I'm here. I made it. I almost didn't make it. I had to run out of work, run to the airport, run to the Lyft... Run in the lift. That was weird. Like kind of Flintstone style. And then I got here barely.
You
was crazy.
You barely squeaked in. But yeah. I'm glad you're here because I did 3 or 5 or 20 live shows without you.
Yeah.
And I realized, and we're about to bring out someone who knows this life deeply, you know, very well. I realized that I would never make it as a stand-up comedian, like as a solo performer. I've never, my whole life, I've like traveled in bands or traveled with Second City. You always have other people where if something goes wrong, it can be their fault. And I was just touring and I would just show up to a venue and shit would be wrong and I'd be like, oh, well, fuck, I guess that's me.
I mean, no, everything was my fault.
But you weren't
there.
Yeah. So then people are looking me in the eyes and I just have to go, you're right.
That feels weird, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
a
weird vibe.
I don't want to be alone anymore. I want you to blame things on.
Oh, so it's my fault. Everything is my fault.
Yeah.
What was I, you know, okay, not that any of the riffs are planned, but I'm so glad there's so many Asian people here tonight. This is like, that doesn't happen enough in our crowds, I feel like.
Every city is a roller coaster.
It's too much. Sorry in advance for all the shit I said about horrible Asian people.
What do you mean, sorry in advance? They listen to the show.
Oh, that is my favorite pre-show. This is the show. Question. How many people have not heard the show and just got, like, dragged here? Is anyone... Anyone has not heard the show? Oh, no.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, good God. Truly sorry in advance.
And how many of you just saw the poster and are here for the wrong reasons?
Yeah. This is We should give people a chance. This is anti-racism, so.
Oh, that guy's
out
of here.
You're allowed to leave.
I do love a good sport.
Yeah.
We were once told, I'm sure we vaguely bitched about this on the pod, but now in the safe space of a live show where we can cut this part out, we were once told by the people who were supposed to sell our ads that our title was too inflammatory to sell fucking mattresses in a box or whatever the fuck. I was like, all these other podcasts, they get all kinds of shit. And they were just like, your title, people aren't sure if it's like the racists are doing
it. Yeah, I think they literally said, well, not every advertiser is sure whether it's pro or anti-racism.
I was like, why aren't they sure?
We had to put a picture of our, that's when the logo changed. We put our picture up just to be like, guess.
See?
Now you can guess. Just guess. Guess. It could be anything.
What do you think they're about? God. I know. Now you're getting the full, like...
This is it.
This
we,
is
do you
the...
think we can just complain at each other and our nice audience for an hour and just see, let it ride?
We could fully do it for more than an hour.
Oh.
But these people came to see our guest and listen to voicemails.
Yeah. I think they came here to hear the complaints.
They definitely come for some complaining. And trust me, we're never without it. So it won't be long between complaints, I guess.
Complaining! Andrew's complaining. All right. So normally we do, for anyone who doesn't listen to the show, I guess, we saw you.
Oh, yeah, we should say, this is the podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? That's a record.
Should we start?
Let's start the podcast.
Is it time to start the show? Let's start the show.
This is the podcast,
Jesus Christ.
Yo, Is This Racist? And I've still never nailed what I say here. That's why it always sounds like I'm discovering it, because I am.
Yeah, it's like the Bambi walking on ice of talking.
Oh, yeah.
It was us. We're
definitely.
The show.
You
okay,
ever, like,
we are the show.
You ever do, like, mini blinds, and, like, you're not sure which way they go when you're doing this, and then they go too fast, and you're just like, I meant to, and it crashes down? That's how I intro the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the podcast.
Podcast.
Yo, Is This Racist?
Yo, Is This Racist?
I'm Tawny Newsome.
Tawny Newsome. I'm Andrew T.
You are.
That's me. That was my cue.
And we listen to your voicemails about racism.
Voicemails about racism.
Answer them with the help of a special guest or guests.
Word. And our fucking special guest tonight.
But first we start with some news. Don't I say that sometimes?
Yeah, but then we're going to talk. He's going to help us because the Seattle
right.
news. I don't know.
No, you're right. You're right. I was wrong.
Our amazing guest tonight. Seattle's, he's not from Seattle, but in my opinion, Seattle's best person. You've heard him on the show before, Hari Kondabolu. I don't know. I thought I should stand for a minute.
Seattle's best person.
Is there a better one?
Some people like Bill Gates.
No.
Nobody likes Jeff Bezos.
No.
You're right.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, I guess?
See, the numbers are still in my sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, this is... I happened to already be in town, so this worked out perfect.
This is incredible.
Let's be real. You straight up booked yourself on this show.
Yeah.
We were a goddamn mess.
Yeah.
And didn't have anything figured out, and you messaged Andrew and said, can I just come be with you
guys? Yeah, I'm going to be in town doing some like, I'm doing a gala for a nonprofit. I'm like, so what? Which means that I do stand-up while people are eating and no one's paying attention. And then I just think about the money afterwards.
Yeah.
A little during, I assume, right?
What'd you say?
You can just think about the money during. Just keep it going.
Not initially, but when you hear, like... the sound of people chewing while you're talking, or like their forks hitting plates and stuff like that, you're like, man, I can't wait to bathe in that check.
Yeah.
I once did a sketch comedy show at I don't know what you call it. I guess it was a church in Bethesda, Maryland, where everyone was crowded around a chocolate fountain while we tried to do just gentle scripted comedy.
Brother.
Just the sound of people just slurping up chocolate with pieces of spongy bread. It's not funny.
One of the worst
It is funny.
One of the worst shows I've ever done was in, it was in Tacoma, Washington. And
yay or boo?
Get to it. And it was in the basement of a country western bar.
Right.
Which was, it wasn't a country western bar the last time I performed in this place, but this time it was nice. Like, they turned it into a country western bar without telling anybody. So everyone's in cowboy hats and stuff. I'm like, okay, where is the Comedy Underground in Tacoma? No signage whatsoever. This isn't good. I'm told it's downstairs. And I get pointed in direction. I'm like, I don't see anything here but an old bank vault. Oh, it's in the bank vault?
Oh my God.
I performed in a bank vault.
That
in front of
awesome.
Eight people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In cowboy hats.
Yes.
And back then, the money wasn't as big, so it was like, oh man, this wasn't worth $40. Like,
oh
it was
God.
So bad.
How much would it have been worth to you, though?
Oh, how much would I want it to have paid?
Like, how much would you have been like, yeah, bank vault?
Yeah.
If it was full of money, yeah, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, this was at one time a place of okay. great wealth.
It's hard not to think when you're doing the bank vault gig, I want the bank vault. This is... The amount of money I deserve is bank vault.
Yeah. It was, no, it was terrible.
Tacoma, do people like Tacoma? I'm never gonna once learn jack shit about the location I'm at, ever. I will never do it.
Tacoma is south of Seattle.
Yeah. What's south? Straight down the
yeah,
hill.
Yeah.
Just straight in the ground.
Yep. It's known for the aroma. the aroma of Tacoma.
What is that?
I believe there's paper mills, I think that you... what is it? Paper mills. And because of the paper mills, there's a certain smell that you get, like, when you're...
Oh, shit.
Driving through. And so that's one thing Tacoma's known for. It's actually a pretty dope city.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who are moving there because no one can live here anymore.
Right.
Unless you work for a website.
Yeah.
Or places that make websites.
Don't we all now work for a website?
That's true. Yeah.
I think every job we collectively have is a website.
Yeah.
You write for the hit website ABC.
.com. .go.com/... You guys like this joke, right? A URL joke? Is that a good way to go?
Also, I think Dale Chihuly from Tacoma?
Yeah.
He does glass sculptures and things, and he only has one eye.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I probably didn't need to reference the one eye.
Tacoma facts. Tacoma facts.
Well, that is why we have you here. We need some We need some Seattle...
We just started grilling you for Seattle shit, and we're like... Let's do this on stage.
Let's do this on stage and pretend it was planned. So we do want to know some things. Like I said, like I've done comedy here. The crowds here like to laugh. You know, they're not an arms folded Los Angeles crowd. So how do you find the what are the comedy crowds like here?
Did everyone unfold your arms? Let's do it.
Well, Seattle people, I think they are incredible audiences. I think part of that has to do with the gratitude that someone came up here. It's a major city, and it's an incredibly cool city, in my opinion, and it's my favorite city other than New York, but there's still a sense of, like, being, like a big, small town. Not Portland, that's just something
Never
else.
Never
But, like,
fuck Portland, right, guys? I'll take the world's cheapest applause. We're gonna say fuck Seattle down in Portland in 24 hours. We don't care.
What's that old Chappelle joke? He did ads for Coke and Pepsi because it's whoever paid me last.
Fuck it, yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, so the audiences are really good, I think in part because if you're in New York and you're doing stand-up, I think there's always the thought of, oh, maybe Chris Rock will just walk in. And like, no one's like, oh, maybe...
Yeah.
Like, you're who might walk
maybe
in.
Maybe I'm going to walk in. It's like, to be perfectly honest, the bar is that low. And I will say that from touring the country, Seattle has some of the best whites.
I was going to ask. Well, you've segued into the
Seattle... Again, the bar is very low.
The Seattle White Report... How has the when did you leave Seattle?
I left in 2007.
Okay.
So when I left, it was like gentrification in progress. Like you saw where things were like, oh, that bank's not going to exist anymore. That Somali tea house will definitely not exist anymore.
There's
cultural things that were really cool that you knew were like, okay, they're going to be wiped out. Like the big thing that that shocked me was. I used to live in the CD, and there's a section called 23rd and Union.
What's the CD?
Oh, the Central District,
okay.
Which was, as a result of redlining, like the CD, Madrona, certain parts of Seattle were historically black neighborhoods, and now there's, like, white babies and dogs and shit, right? So,
do they have parents? Or did the white babies just earn enough generational wealth to start buying up homes? I'd believe it, little Tanners and Bradens. Just
if you invest well, Tawny, if you invest well.
A baby did show me how to use the iPhone X, and that is not a lie.
Tight.
A 4-year-old child showed me how to use the thumb swipe, and I was like, I hate this life.
I had a 6-year-old show me how to update my phone, which was very humiliating.
We're all doomed. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
But, there's a stretch called 23rd and Union, which when I lived there was still really violent, and there'd be lots of shootings, and, like, people would sell, like weed around there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And now it's, like, gentrified, and, like, a lot of white people live there, and there's a weed shop right on, like, the corner where, like people, like, the owner of one of the old establishments got killed in front. Like, it's, like, this incredibly violent stretch, and now white people moved in, and they buy their weed there from, a white dude that owns it. So, to me, it's, like, that, which is, like, indicative of a lot of the country. It's, like, so all these people of color that went to jail and also introduced a market to a place, they don't get to enjoy the market they helped create. You know what I mean?
Buy your weed from people of color. Jesus Christ.
Like,
white weed.
If you fucking really believe in local, like, buy it from, like, your dude still. Like, why are you...
Yeah, go to the hood, get your illegal weed.
I think that's the baller move. Still buy illegal weed. Find a way to make it illegal.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I know I can get better and flavored and formed into lollipops, but I'm still going down to historic South Central.
God. It's definitely, like... Like neighborhoods are changing. I don't know what Fremont's like, but Fremont used to be like real, like crunchy and like like hippie. Is that still the way a little bit?
Is this place still good? You can just nod or shake.
Like
it's corporate sellouts.
Like
fuck this place.
But not this sweet church.
Not
am
this
I right?
Dope ass church, a nonprofit. Thank you so much for having us. We love it here. I ate so much fruit backstage. Y'all's grocery store fruit is so good. It was just in a little thing.
Oh, you're from California. How can you say that?
I will eat the world's worst grocery store fruit in a way that is disgusting.
I also enjoy, this doesn't really have to do with race, but every time I come here, I'm astounded. I always forget about the footwear. I am an avid outdoors person, but every person here is ready to go on a hike.
Yeah.
Everyone you pass by, and I'm always like, businessman, nanny, lady going to the coffee shop, you look down and there's tread. And I'm always like, you know what? These are the people who are ready to do like a 2-mile hike. They're the ones who are gonna jump in if some shit happens to me out here. It's not the people in a slick bottom shoe in LA or New York City.
We hate New York City. We might be reaching
diminishing returns
on
that. Is those people will feel bad that something is happening to you as they go to their hike.
Yeah.
Go get on a ferry to go to Vashon or whatever. So.
That mud's not going to step on itself, Tawny.
I'm just saying. I appreciate everyone's tread here. Like, I think it signals their activism.
I've had racist things happen here.
Yeah.
And as they're happening, like, I've had one happen at a coffee shop. This is actually in my Netflix special, which was recorded at the Neptune in Seattle. But, like, I've had, like, racist shit happening, and I'm looking around, like, nobody, no one's going to do it. And it's every white person is like, they know what's happening, but they're like, all right, okay, just going to keep typing.
Yeah.
And it's like,
a lot of code on this website.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. As opposed to, like, let me do something. Instead, it's like, oh, cool. Like, the next time I have, like, a dinner party with my white liberal friends, I can talk about a racist incident that I witnessed that was so terrible.
Right.
And we really need to do something for it. And here's the newest book by Tim Wise.
Yeah. This is doing something. Again, you guys all have done something to fight racism. Tonight, just by being here, we do appreciate it.
We're not talking about you. We're talking about other white people.
The sellouts outside.
The ones who just couldn't afford the $20.
Yeah, this podcast is for the rich only.
Oh. Do you guys want to hear some bonkers voicemails from people? Is that a fun thing to do?
Okay, last try. What do you guys think about actors, or actually, I guess, who take on roles that would be considered derogatory to their race or to their gender? Do you feel like if you have enough power to make a choice, that you should make that choice? Do you feel like an upcoming actor who doesn't have, like, a job yet is incapable of making a big decision when it comes to, like, a large studio or a large director? Do you look down on the artists or the actors who take these jobs because they feel like it's necessary, even if they don't personally agree with it? Do you think that it's, like, a good chance to take a new platform and speak up about issues like this? I think about movies like that have no people of color in any of them, and then when you're an actor, it's even harder than the normal actor. Shit.
Yes.
Never mind. Just delete all these and forget I asked anything. I'm sorry.
Nope, we're using this one. Did you guys, was that comprehensible to people? No. Tight. Okay. What do we think about actors who take derogatory roles, like actors, any kind of marginalized person, really, who take roles that are, we'll call them sellout roles? Is that too harsh?
Absolutely. It definitely already states your opinion.
Where do you think I'm going? No. But actors who take roles that are somehow derogatory to who they are, you know, who determines that? What does that mean? What do you think? You know, and yeah, there's just
well,
jump.
I have a question. Because, like, is it the question of, like, are they people of that race
yes.
or demographic
yes.
that are just doing...
Yeah. So it's like the what the caller was getting at was sort of this idea that, like, if they don't do it, it's either going to happen or there's just not going to... The role just won't exist. Is it better to have some kind of... Is it better to have bad representation than no representation or what?
I interviewed Ajay Naidu during my documentary, The Problem with Apu, and we talked about representation a great deal in the documentary. And Ajay Naidu was in Office Space, and he was in Bad Santa, and a lot of the roles he played, definitely, they have accents, and they're kind of, they can be very stereotypical characters. We use the term called patanking, which is like, that's kind of what these roles are like. It's like it's like a sound, like patanking. Like that's basically the voice they make you do.
Right.
This absurd over the top voice. And you know, so I asked him, like, you know, how do you feel about these roles that you've taken? So the one part, of course, is as an actor, you have to eat. This is your dream. How else do you do it? You hope eventually you get better work. But the second thing he said I thought was really interesting, which is, I would rather do the role than someone else who can't lend any degree of dignity to a part that's undignified.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's going to be a complete caricature, at least if I play the part, it's a little less of a caricature. There's some decency in the character. I can challenge certain aspects of the writing, but, you know, it is what it is. In some ways, it's like sprinkles on shit, but at the same time, it's like, you know, at least then there's some finessing and nuance there. So, I mean, and I do think you're right. Like, if there is an issue, they'll just cut the part altogether and we don't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree that everyone draws their line. I mean, speaking as an actor, you see a role that is not great for the culture, and you either are the person who, and I've been both people sometimes, where I call my agent back and I say, I can't audition for this. This is horrifying. I can't be this lunch lady just wagging her finger over and over. Like, I just can't do it. And they go, yeah, we get it. This sucks. And then they move on to one of their other clients who will go on the audition. But some of them are just on the line enough where you think, like, okay, this is bad, but I could actually see myself being good at it. And maybe the whole like change from within fucking lie that we're sometimes told, but you think you can do it. You're like, okay, I can lend enough authenticity like you're saying, but I can also maybe like appeal to them as a fellow comedy writer and say like, hey, here's a way to make it a little more whatever. That's a gamble, but every actor is going to choose one of those paths, and I don't really fault them if they're trying, except for the people who are just like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. Let's do the whole Al Jolson thing. Let's do it, you know?
Make that money.
Yeah, just let's tap dance.
I remember when that show Outsourced came out on NBC about a decade ago, and this is when, like, Aziz was on Parks and Rec, and, like, there's more brown people in the media, so I'm like, oh, this is really good. And then all of a sudden, like, Outsourced came out, which was the stereotypical TV show about a call center in India with somehow the white dude's the hero in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how that worked. But
that's how call centers work.
But it's like they're all caricatures, and but at the same part of me was like, wow, I've never seen so many brown actors getting work at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
But is it work? It's a network show. If you get network money, like that'll support you for a while. It's good health insurance. I mean, that they've waited their whole lives for an opportunity to do this. And at the same time, my first thought is, man, like, are all your parents dead? Like, how did you?
How could you fucking?
How are you okay with this? Like, is it worth doing? But I also feel like when you're a comic, for example, I feel like you have the privilege of like, well, I'm not going to take that role. I'll just tell jokes on the road. Actors can't do that. Yeah, they actually have to deal with other people's visions and how they view you and reading like how other people view you. And for me, and I think that's why I love stand-up so much, it's a place for so many marginalized people to say what they want to say without a script, and they create their own script.
Yeah.
And eventually people, like, Aziz didn't have to do that because his stand-up was big enough where they let him play himself now.
I'm a little, like, glad that I think we're moving past all the first draft shit of all these things, too. So we're just like, it can be better, we can finally do better represented. No. I'm not an actor. I don't know what's happening.
No, I go to a lot of... I'm trying not to just say all shit I have to cut out so the podcast isn't 4 minutes long when we get to it, but I do a lot of, like, a certain network is doing a table read for a show they've already mostly cast, but, like, the supporting roles, they haven't yet, so go do that and be seen and, like, you know, grin for the people or whatever. So these are kind of, like, early drafts of shit that they are then going to make. And all I gotta say is it's bad out there, man.
Yeah.
It's still bad. Because, like, now the old guard of people who've always been writing sitcoms and stuff, not, like, the new fresh people who are our friends, like, the people who've always been doing it, they know now, like, okay, so we need more brown people and more queer people. We need more of them in here. Mm-hmm. But they don't know how to make us funny without just poking fun at why we're different. So their inclusion, their, like, kind-hearted inclusion is often just rough. Rough.
Why? What could possibly go wrong with a bunch of middle-aged white guys just being like, I'll write this role. I fucking got this. I know a black person.
What would a person I've never interacted with say in this situation?
I count sometimes how many times at a table read I'm going to have to say, aw, hell nah.
Oh, my God.
There's always one. There's never not one.
It's always written in the most racist way possible, too. All right, let's try another voicemail. Let's see how this fucking goes.
Hi, I'm a white girl with a really racist dog. She's a rescue beagle. The day we brought her home, she attacked our black neighbors. She doesn't bite, but she does bark, and she's just kind of a bitch. And my question is, what do we... say. Like, every time we bring black people into the house, she's so mean, and she barks, and she growls, and I don't know what to say to my black friends who are the only ones getting barked at by my evil dog, while she's being so nice and sweet to all the white people. Can't you other people of color who aren't black? It's only black people. Help. What do I do? What do I say to my friends? Should I get rid of my dog?
All right, that's fine.
Wait, is that how she ended it?
No, I cut her. She kind of rambles a little bit longer.
One question I'd like to know is how old the dog was when she got the dog. Because if the dog was a puppy, then wait a second.
That's your racist dog.
Right. But, like, is there a history before that? Like, was like, well, yeah, it was a retired police dog. Well, okay, yeah, all right, there you go.
You can't get a racist dog from the cops? Is that a thing you can do?
Trying to reform racist dogs.
I don't know. We got this dog. The cops had it, taught it everything they knew.
I would love to start that organization, like reforming racist dogs.
Oh my God.
That would
be so... we can do
just
this.
Teaching them to like put their paw on things that they find offensive.
The tails wagging when they see Donald Trump on TV. And just like, smack him over the head with a newspaper. No!
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 Oh, God.
That's the level of white guilt I like, is do I have a racist dog? That's like the perfect shit.
I'm also... I hate this question so much. I hate it so much. Because, like, first of all, when black people come in your house... they don't think, oh, the dog's barking at me because I'm black, because that's dumb. They think, oh, this is a dog. It has a tenth of a human brain. It's barking at me because I'm wearing Bath and Body Works lotion. They don't know fucking why it's barking at you. They don't notice that it's not barking at white people. They're just like, dog's barking at me. That sucks. But oh, no one's going, it's the color of my skin.
Okay.
I've literally never, first of all, dogs love me, but second of all... I've literally never been like, oh yeah, this dog's racist, because that doesn't exist.
I think you guys are about to witness me and Tawny having our first real-ass disagreement. So I think there's definitely racist dogs. What?
Well,
you're just saying they don't. There's no way for the victim of the dog's racism to know.
Wait, you're saying there's racist dogs because there's racist people that infuse their feelings on the dog. Of course.
Yeah.
But as a black person, I'm also not like, first of all, I don't give a fuck why your dog's barking at me.
Yeah.
So like for you to be like, oh, sorry, our dog's racist. Like that's, sorry, she does this with our nanny too. I'm like, stop talking. Truly stop talking about your fucking dog.
Right.
Just let your dog bark. Like, I mean, you don't say, if the dog shoves its nose in someone's crotch, you're not like, she just loves sweat. Like, you know, just don't make people uncomfortable, is what I'm saying.
Well, right. She's probably not telling people. That's why she called here, just to be like, how do I fix it before I get in trouble?
You're right, but a lot of people do. But you're right. It sounds like she's not.
Do people?
Oh, people all the time.
I feel like,
my
for sure, this
racist.
Woman is like, sorry, I have a racist dog.
So it's almost like they're just... putting it on the dog so they don't feel the, like, maybe I'm uncomfortable around my neighbor. The dog senses a degree of discomfort and is reacting to my discomfort.
This neighbor has never come to our house before.
Yeah.
Right.
You just invited them randomly and the dog's like, this is a stranger.
Yeah.
Maybe have more black friends.
Just have more black friends. It's the solution to everything. Except for when I put it that way. Kind of sounds weird.
Well, our industrious listeners will just go out with like a net.
Oh, boy. Yeah. A lady that's calling in about racist dogs is going to try to find black people like Pokemon Go, which is not great. Do we have real advice for her then?
I like that she thought we'd be so savage to be like, get rid of your dog. Because normally we are like, dump your boyfriend.
That's true.
Fuck your family.
Yep.
Nothing matters, but the fact that she's like, should I get rid of this dog?
Like, no, not a dog.
The dog needs you.
Dog.
Teach the dog better.
I mean,
where you at on racist dogs?
You gotta, if it's like, you're not gonna talk to your grandparents about racism, you're not gonna step up in any single way possible, just get rid of the fucking dog.
There's enough
dogs. There's non-racist dogs out there.
Yeah.
There's non-racist dogs that need a home. Yeah. Just don't get a... I mean, here's the one. I don't like cats, but I'll say this thing about cats, is that cats aren't racist. Cats hate all humans. And there's something really commendable about that. And I never thought I'd say something positive about cats, but I do like the fact that they're just indifferent to our species.
They're like a road comic. They're equal opportunity haters.
Yeah, they hate all of us.
So that's the advice. Get yourself a woke dog.
Or get yourself a cat where you'll never know it's racism.
Oh my God.
Why can't she just be like, oh, sorry, the dog's really anxious. And just like not make it
just
weird.
Lie, yeah. That you're making this your clearly too few people of color friends problem by saying I have a racist dog.
But isn't it possible, like, okay, this dog interacts with other neighbors and nothing happens, and as soon as like he sees the black neighbor, it freaks out, like that's gonna be, I mean, they're gonna suspect something. The way it's like, you were fine over there,
but
with me, all of a sudden there's an issue.
I guess, I don't know. I just think, I think it doesn't matter. And I think drawing attention to people's race or in any way isn't necessary, right? So for the people, like, even if the black people notice, oh, that dog only barks at me, they're probably just gonna be like, the owner's probably a little bit racist. So maybe that's what this lady's trying to escape.
I think that must be a piece of it. I feel like being not black or white, sometimes when dogs approach me and if they're racist, I don't think they know what to do.
Do I hate you?
Small fucker.
Who are we in war with now? Like, I mean, I'm still racist, but...
I don't know if he's the one I hate. And I'm and dogs are apparently colorblind. Bullshit.
I'm just like, no dog is racist because there's never been an instance of black people adopting a dog and just being like, well, it won't stop barking at me.
Yeah.
I feed it and it just freaks out at me. Never.
Wait, okay, I'm going to deviate slightly from the plan right now. Does anyone, you guys get how this works. Does anyone from the floor have a racism question?
How it works in Seattle is you'll get several emails after. Oh, okay.
We got one. Yeah, please come on up.
This microphone in the center of the room here. So I've been rehearsing. I've been rehearsing for the to call, but I never get around to it.
Oh, hold on. I think we can.
Good.
Hit it.
All right. So I've been rehearsing this for a while and planning, but so
tight. We have done a good job of setting you up.
Yes. I work for a small management boutique consulting firm that works in arts and culture, and...
Closer to the mic.
Thank you. And so,
get uncomfortably close to the mic, okay, we're sorry.
All right.
Yes.
And so they did a big remodel. I was the only person who was even... I was the person of color. I'm Tsimshian, which is a native tribe here around here. But I don't look it. So that's as much color as
the
company
had. You're allowed to be what you are, ma'am. Don't worry.
Thank you. So they were remodeling the whole space, and they're getting all of our clients to send in pictures. So we have beautiful Boston Ballet, and we have all these beautiful pictures of lots of white people. And so I'm sitting with one of my clients that is in the Twin Cities, and they're looking at pictures, and the CEO comes up and says, oh, I love that picture. We need more color on the wall. And it's a black man in like a Greek tragedy, and I just stood there and I didn't see anything because she wasn't talking about painting the wall red. She was like, we need more people of color on the wall. But coming from her, a very white woman, felt very racist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my question. Is that racist?
Oh, like saying we need more color.
We need more color, like looking at a black man in a picture and saying, oh, I love that. We need more color on our wall.
Thank you so much for narking out your boss.
Oh, I don't work there anymore.
Oh, you don't work there anymore?
No, I just need to be at home with my babies.
This is the shit I love.
And you quit.
Yeah.
Okay. No, really, thank you so much for your question.
You racist. What?
It doesn't feel like the actual, like, statement to me bothers me as much as the fact that, one, they already didn't have any people of color on the walls, and two, it took looking at a picture of a black person in a Greek tragedy, like it's seeing a person of color in a European tradition, that's the one we need. Like, ooh, that to me is more disturbing. And also, if you wanted to add color on the, quote unquote, color on the walls, just do it.
Yeah.
Like, what rules do you have? Like, well, it has to be certain kinds of color that we add to the wall.
Yeah,
they have to meet our standards of color. Like, we're not just going to put Muhammad Ali on the wall. Like, you know, which honestly, that would seem like...
That would be tight.
That would be
just
kind
like
of
a bunch
like
of small, whatever, performances and just Muhammad Ali for no good reason.
Right.
We needed a black.
It's almost as if they assume that all the pictures they could pot, like any photography they could possibly show of black people has to be civil rights era.
Yeah.
Like that's what, if like there is no idea that there's a broad range of things you could potentially display. Like, what is the holdup? To me, that's the bigger issue.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of this, like, kind of, what, because we're in an era where, like, basically they've decided it's profitable to be woke for a corporation or publicity shit. So it's a lot of, like, oh, you needed to solve this problem 20 years ago, so you had an opportunity to build up a library of diversity, of representation. And so, like, trying to fix it now, it's always going to sound gross. Like, it is always going to be like, oh, we need some color. It's like, well, you needed color in the photography going way back. Hari hates this.
How hard is it to just get some art and images with people of color in it? Like, it's not that hard. I don't understand why I found this picture and that's the, like,
yeah.
It means you're not really looking.
Yeah,
you're not looking at any other images. You're not looking at other art. You're like, I just happened to stumble into this one time. Like, that to me is just incredibly... It's incredibly lazy, and that to me is the problem. It's like, you don't need to do anything. If you legitimately cared about this, it would have been solved.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the key to at least not appearing racist is, like, just don't be the laziest ass piece of shit you could possibly be. It's so easy to not appear racist. It's unbelievable.
This is more of a PR than it is about,
Be racist. Just put in the work not to look racist.
Right.
People can't even do that. That's the ringtone. Be racist. All right.
But you know, there is something to that, though, because I feel like with code switching, like, we're always constantly having to slip, like, okay, we're around people of color, but people from our culture, we're around white people with power. How do we represent ourselves? Like, often, I think, well, definitely white people in power, they don't need to think about that.
Yeah.
And so to them, the idea of switching how we do things or altering our for other people's perception, I think is like a somewhat foreign idea.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, how people are perceive me the way I want to be perceived? Like, I don't understand. As opposed to like, no, there are consequences to us if you do not perceive us in a way that is like, oh, they're smart, they're capable, they're not scary. Like, you need that. They never have to think about that.
Yeah. We didn't conquer and enslave the earth so that I had to think about how I feel or how other people feel sometimes.
Right.
I am white. That's why they did it.
And I didn't know if you were talking about your imperialist ancestors.
I know, it kind of. Are we doing Horrible Asian Corner?
I can't start Horrible Asian Corner.
I don't know if there is.
That's not an acceptable thing for me to start.
God.
Do you know what I've noticed in the show so far? I feel like Andrew and I, we both, like, bring it down to such a level of anger and frustration. And Tony Media is like, okay, let's fix this. All right. Let's actually say something smart that will also entertain an audience.
Oh, you think I'm trying to say things smart? I'm all about the zingers, baby. I don't give a fuck.
Let's do it. Oh, fuck. Wait. I fucked this up. Let's try this. Who knows? It might work.
No.
Hey, Andrew, Tawny, Jeff. I am a gay Mexican immigrant living in Texas, and I know how that sounds. I am going to become an American citizen after 23-ish years of being a legal permanent resident. And I am planning on throwing a party themed America, fuck yeah. And I was thinking of, you know, doing all the honorable things like wearing the flag and maybe wearing a long wig and having American flag hats and all that stuff. Is that considered whiteface? Can I do that shit? Is that okay? Thank you. Wanted to know.
Doing all the honorable things. Mm-hmm. American flag, mm-hmm. blonde wig, American mm-hmm. flag. Mm-hmm. Classic American things.
Just write down the list before you dial the number. It's fine. Just write it down. Holy shit. Whiteface?
I like that anyone thinks whiteface is bad, first of all. I was just on an episode of Sherman Showcase this week as Lana Del Rey, so fuck whiteface. It doesn't exist. It's not real. If Maya Rudolph could play everyone from an Italian to Beyonce, it's not real.
I thought that was Mariah Carey.
I was Mariah Carey too, but but she's black at least.
No, I thought your... Never mind. I thought your outfit was Mariah Carey.
Oh, that I posted. Yeah, but I also did a Lana Del Rey.
Type.
Where they didn't... They really didn't want to lighten the foundation, and I was like, you got to.
Oh.
You got to for Lana. And they were like, we're not sure if it's whiteface, and I was like, this doesn't exist.
Just to pull back the Hollywood curtain a little bit, what is your whiteface rider like, just when you do whiteface?
I'm like, I need... thin lips. No, I do say, like, I want the straightest, baddest wig in the world. Like, I just want the straightest, just a waterfall of wheat.
Hurry, you done any whiteface?
I went to college in Maine, so every day there is me, pretty much. I grew up in Queens, New York. I don't know how my voice became this. It was definitely 4 years in Maine. I did not sound like this when I was growing up in Queens. So,
wait. Okay.
I feel like that there's a degree. I feel like there's a degree of, like, you know, like I was saying before, like of to function a certain degree of costuming you do need to make to just like to succeed in this country. So I feel like to that degree, whiteface isn't a thing. Partly because like. They just want to hire white actors anyway, so they're not going to hire a person of color unless it's like Sherman's Showcase, which is brilliant and like, you know.
Yeah, like there's no history of black people taking roles from white people and playing them as caricatures. And literally the thing that white supremacists online like to bring up is they like to go, but what about white chicks?
Yes! Yeah. Every time!
That one Wayans Brother movie that you certainly didn't see?
But I think they did see it, and I think they liked it, and I don't think they know what to do with it. Because they always bring it up. It's so weird. Every time there's a blackface thing that's happening in the news or like Asian face, whatever, or any kind of racism, minstrelsy and stuff, immediately there's a conversation on Twitter or something, and then all these white people bring up white chicks. And I'm like, when is this airing?
What? Literally, they're just looking for the one thing. It's the false equivalency. They're just like, well, where's the one thing? Where's the one thing? It's like, the only thing we need to be talking about white chicks was, first of all, how good those prosthetics were for it being 2003.
Yes.
That makeup department deserves several awards. And second of all, that it gave us Terry Crews. Thank God almighty. Ooh, yeah. I mean...
I don't know.
I'm sure he did stuff before that, but I remember him from that.
I was trying to think of the award for best white face. I guess it's just the Whitey Awards, but we can do better. We'll get
you
it. We'll
they
get
have
it better.
Separate awards.
No, yeah, no, no. You're saying they deserve their award.
I think best
the faces.
Yeah, I was just saying like at the Oscars, like the makeup department. You want there to be a whole award show for just white face?
Yeah. The Yo Is This Racist presents race makeup. Extravaganza.
Race makeup.
How long are you going to let me keep going with this?
I want to workshop this bit.
Yeah.
I really liked Eddie Murphy's white face on that old Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yeah.
Where he dresses up white for a day to see what would happen. Mm-hmm. That's some quality white face.
That's a really... So you know what? There is such thing as good white face.
But whenever like there's white face, it's done for a larger satirical purpose.
Yeah.
Right, like it's to draw attention to racism as opposed to blackface, historically, or Asian face, or any other kind of minstrelsy, which is just like we are mocking you,
and like we can't give the jobs to you actually,
right?
But we want to make this joke.
Well, that's what happens even with what's that movie that everyone did, Tropic Thunder?
Yeah,
like and people were furious, like don't you get the joke? Like Robert Downey Jr., he's in blackface, but they're like mocking blackface by him being in blackface and kind of being in the. And I'm like. Okay, that's convoluted, I get it.
Yeah.
But why don't you just hire a black actor pretending he's a white actor, pretending he's a black actor?
So
like is it like
reboot?
Like you're gonna save money on makeup, one.
Yeah.
Two, you're gonna save money on acting because you're gonna pay him less, because that's how Hollywood works. So what, like, there's no excuse. Well, you don't get comedy. I don't know. It seems like you add one more layer. It's even more interesting. Yeah. So what's the problem?
See, it's interesting you say you're going to pay less on makeup because my dumb brain went, well, you got to put that black person in white face. Then you got to put that white face in black face. Like, that's a long time in the makeup chair.
I feel like our awards show is really filling itself out. This makes sense. I mean, it's also, like, I love, since we're getting into... Twitter beefs, essentially. Like, when people are like, don't you get the satire? It's like, How much fucking commentary do you have on blackface? It takes 1 second to say blackface is wrong. So, like, there's not much more than that. Like, you don't need a whole goddamn movie for the
when
dumb
they
idea.
Mention whiteface, I wonder what happens when you ask, well, name a second example.
Yeah.
Other than white chicks.
Yeah, white chicks. Name your second example. They'll be like, Tawny Newsome on Sherman Shepard.
You're gunning for the new whiteface example.
I just want people to watch the show.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, this sort of dovetails with that first question, which is, like, one of the reasons not to do the minstrelly role is because racists will never fucking let go of it.
Yeah.
Like, ever. They're going to hang on to it for decades and decades and decades. So, like, ugh.
So can this gay Mexican immigrant, by his own description, put on a wig and an American flag, the two most symbolic elements of this country?
This is the bravest shit I've ever heard, too, this guy doing this in Texas.
Not only should he throw this party, I would like an invite.
Yeah. No, we want everyone here to get an invite. I'll take the cheap applause.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care.
I'm sad that this person even thinks it's a question. If anything, you're just going to get annoying comments from your friend's friend who they brought.
Actually, I really like putting that on Instagram will help you weed out the dumbest racists that are still in your... You can just delete, 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 delete. It's great. I love blocking people.
People he has blocked?
How many people do you have blocked?
What was the last number I said on the podcast?
You said 17,000.
I think I've blocked more people than I have followers.
Do you like blocking over muting?
Yes.
I like muting because it doesn't give them the satisfaction.
They
don't know that, like, oh, we affected this person.
Yeah.
They just keep babbling on to nobody, which I can't.
I don't know. Sometimes I just, like, get a little stoned and just go on a blocking spree. I think that's my therapy. It's the only thing that helps my brain. Let's see. Real quick, we have two more cued voicemails, but do we have one more from the floor? We have a couple more from the floor.
Very excited.
Okay, we got one. Okay.
I mean, full disclosure, we might know this person.
This is just a teeny tiny chance.
Hello.
Hi.
Have we met? Perla.
This is Perla. She might be selling our merch, but I don't know what she's about to say.
So. No. Okay. Yeah. No.
It does mean you have a brief window to rob the merch table.
Yes, so. Please. And your drink fund's getting bigger. Just to let you know, they're going to Portland tomorrow. And I'm going to say this as a new Seattle person. I moved here from Portland after 19 years. In 2016, I had 3 death threats after the election of Donald Trump, and I had to get out of there. I had to give up my no sales tax, pumping my own gas, my really cute taco stand. I gave it all up because when I came to Seattle, when I got off the train, I ran into 3 people of color, and I swear to God, I felt like I was in the Wizard of Oz. Like, I was like, I'm like, there's an Asian man, there's a black woman, oh my God, I love all these people. So thank you, Seattle. You've been awesome. I still get sticker shock. I'm like, what do you mean? It's $11.01. It's $9.99. Ma'am, there's sales tax. And I'm like, oh, right. I'm so sorry.
Buy a t-shirt.
Please buy a t-shirt. Buy a t-shirt. And if you get 2 t-shirts, they're 2 for $50.
I didn't mean to make you do this.
Now this got weird. This got weird, yeah.
I'm showing you I've been doing my job.
No, thank you.
So
what up, though?
Okay, so about the guy who's going to do his America party, my dad, when he became an American citizen, I can't tell you how prideful I felt doing the standing for the national anthem when I still wanted to,
mm-hmm.
but also saluting the flag with my dad who became a citizen. And we threw him a Welcome to America party and served bologna sandwiches. So yes, you can do it.
Hell yeah.
He got a flag, he got beer cozies, he got a NASCAR shirt. We had to look up what NASCAR was because we didn't understand what that meant. Because we are a very Latino dominant family. So my question is,
go ahead, girl.
Okay, thank you. So Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos is coming up, and I'm really getting upset with the colonialism of it.
Mm-hmm.
People claim it like, oh, I totally get Dia de los Muertos. It's Mexican Halloween. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's It's also a Mexican holiday, not a Latin American holiday. This is a holiday invented by Latino, or by Mexicans, but the Latino community has embraced it as one, but it's really from Mexico. So how do I tell people to shut the fuck up and don't celebrate that holiday unless you have a direct connection? Because I am very tired of having to explain to people, like, it isn't a party. We're technically celebrating our deceased, and we're not gatekeeping. We're just like, please respect our space. This is a very somber but yet beautiful holiday.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad you watched that James Bond movie, but that didn't exist until they did it.
Yeah, I get it. First of all, give Perla a hand. I mean,
thank you.
I love it. I mean, Andrew would just say, tell them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it felt like you said it. Shut the fuck up and please respect a holiday.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what you say.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the education piece of like, I don't think you know what this is.
No.
Yeah.
And it's also 2 days. There's one day for adults and there's one for children. The one for adults is kind of a celebration because, you know, you put out the booze for grandpa. And I drink my grandpa's beer when I put it out. But there's one for the children. And that's the saddest one because that one you celebrate a life that never existed.
Mm.
And when you explain it to people, like, well, you don't need to be so down about it. I'm like, because it's a downer of a holiday. It's not Christmas.
I think this is what you do. I think you get into the nitty gritty where you're just like, oh, nice face paint. Do you know that the children death day is coming? And you get
it's
really
tomorrow?
Into the scare, I'm serious, and you bum them out until they're just like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah. No.
You know?
Or like, you know, when I do traditional face paste, you do half and half, and that's because you have a connection. You have technically, like, the truth is you had a near-death experience, so you have 1 foot in life and 1 foot in death, so you do half and half. And one woman called me lazy.
You gotta explain all this shit. You gotta bring them down.
Should I just
so
hand
hard.
Them cards?
Yeah.
I run out of cards.
I guess you play this episode of the podcast?
Okay, I will.
Just have it queued up.
I'm buying a t-shirt.
No, but that's sort of the eternal problem with being a person of color in this world is like, do I have the fucking energy to be a bummer?
Well, this is when the
And by the way, I always have the energy to be a fucking bummer. But not everyone does.
Well, I mean, this is when, like, the allies have to... I mean, here's the thing about, like, the term ally is so... Here's what I hate, because it acknowledges it's a war, but you're not really doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a war, you actually have to take part. You know what I mean? You're really fucking Switzerland in this whole fucking thing, so don't pretend you're an ally. So I think, really, it's less being an ally. It's more being a fucking buzzkill. I mean, that's what you have to do. It's being a killjoy. That's what's hard. Like, telling somebody, like that's fucked up. Don't do that. Because if we do it, it's like, again.
There they go again.
What, are you going to call me racist? What, are you going to expose me on the internet and ruin my livelihood? And then, that is what would happen.
Yeah,
but like,
cool.
Ideally, yes.
We can avoid all this when I feel like that's where, like, the white people have to step up. Like, hey, dude, like, I know you've been really excited about this. You bought the face paint and all that. And it's left over from the blackface you wore for Halloween. And stuff, but like, maybe it's time, you know, this is what this means, and it's disrespectful to people. I know everyone else is doing it. They don't know either. Peace, you know. I'm just giving it out there, and, you know.
I think that's the actual ally move. Like, we're at ally inflation now, but if you want to be a good ally, you have to take the energy to be the bummer so that your people of color, your friends of color, don't have to do that.
Thank you so much, Perla.
Buy a t-shirt, everybody.
Let's do. Do we have time for one more from the crowd? Maybe.
Oh, can I just say one quick thing? Quick. That's one reason why, kind of like being a non-white, black, or Latino minority.
Yeah.
Because nobody really knows our shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
my
biggest fear is one day, like, there's a holiday and there's Ganesha as a piñata. Like, that is like my biggest. I love the fact nobody knows what we do. They're just playing paintball. That's a Hindu holiday, right? Yeah. All right. Throw the paint at each other, that's
but
right.
Is part of that, I mean, you're joking, but like, is part of that a bummer that people aren't celebrating your culture more, that you don't see it around?
Not based on how they celebrate other people's cultures. The track record isn't looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a very thin, like, meniscus of, like, appreciation before it gets gross and cringy, right? Like, have we struck it right with any other culture that we've borrowed things from? And I say we as a fellow white woman.
I mean, you can tell it's not possible because they can't even do it right for other white people. Like, St. Patrick's Day means, like, it will be disrespectful.
Yeah, it's what...
It has to be. All right. Oh, you know what? We're going to do one question from the back. All the way in the back. Come on down. That's a bad vibe. That's a bad vibe for this show.
Okay. So I work in education and in the arts. And last year...
I hate
year,
the arts, but go ahead.
Say what?
I hate the arts, but go ahead.
Terrible. Awful. Yeah. No, but this is interesting because I grew up in Seattle in the North End, and then I went to school in upstate New York, and so I got a kind of a unique look at how Seattle is this, you know, little bubble of, like, passive-aggressive racism. And so I was, anyway, so I was, the school I was working at was doing an assembly for Black Lives Matter, which is awesome, and they asked me to present at this assembly. I was like, great, I have some stories and, you know, really good anecdotes that I can, you know, talk about, you know, race and, you know, to the students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of explains some things, even though I don't speak for all black people. And, you know, just, you know, anyway, when it came time for the assembly, they're like, oh, well, we were just thinking you could, you know, play saxophone and tap dance.
No. Not what? Literal tap dance.
I mean, I do.
But they didn't say literally we just want you to play saxophone and tap dance.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh, whether or not you can tap dance, they didn't say the words, we just irrelevant. Want you to play the saxophone and tap dance.
It was along the line, well, we were just thinking maybe you could just do your, you know, dance and then your song and then, yeah, no, literal song and dance.
They literally said do your song and dance.
Yeah, and I was not thrilled.
Was this Rochester?
That's where I went to school, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. Rochester.
I spent 4 months there. We'll talk about it later.
All right. No, this actually was here in Seattle when they asked me to do the song and dance. But I went to school in Rochester.
What? What did you say?
Well, I can't say the school, but I really want
to. This
woman
is like, name the school. She's pressuring him.
We'll bleep it.
I will not succumb to this pressure. But you can follow me on Instagram and then you can DM.
Yeah.
All right.
We stand a content
so
king.
What did I say?
This is why our shows are good, is because people slide into other people's DMs to be like, which is that racist school you were talking about? I just want to know what the racist school was.
Okay, what'd you do?
Well, I was very upset, and I talked to my white girlfriend about it, and she advised me to tell them that they're fucking assholes and they're racist pieces of shit. Nice. And she actually was the one that turned me onto this show. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Kylie.
I thought about it for a long time. I was like, this is super racist. At the same time, like, this ties into what you guys were talking about earlier, kind of with actors and taking those roles. Like, I mean, I eventually did it, but then I was able to infuse some comments about racial justice and educational justice in there. But I did it, but like, I didn't get upset at first. And that was like really upsetting that I didn't get upset at first.
Oh.
Because
a twist to your question.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
are you a bad person for not getting upset after being asked to tap dance at the Black Lives Matter rally? Yes.
Wait, so when you said you ended, did you end up playing?
Yeah, I did.
Did you
because I didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah.
Sure. I love the idea. You said you managed to infuse some things. I love the idea of you just like, have you heard about Angela Davis?
I do feel like you have to fully... like Lisa Simpson it a little bit and just like,
yes.
I don't know why that was my pull. Sorry, Harry.
No, but I think that, I mean, Lisa Simpson was the original Killjoy. Like, I think she's a great
actor. No, I think, just like do the, you gotta get the fucking lesson across. even while you're... Okay, here's my other possible solution, which is clearly you should just secretly record your bosses every time they have a conversation with you. Because at this point, it's 100% guaranteed you'd be like, you really, you wanna hear this again? You wanna roll that back? Because how are you going to ask some dude to just tap dance and play saxophone at the Black Lives Matter?
Also, if you hadn't done that, if you hadn't participated, would there have been no black people involved in this at all?
Correct.
So then you're like bearing the weight on your shoulders of being like, well, there has to be somebody at the Black Lives Matter rally thing. I want to imbue you with the courage, sir, in the future to do something that I have done, which is look around and go, if I don't do this, there's no people of color in this. And I want them to have to sit there and see how that feels. Because then they do, like, sometimes they don't notice it until they see a picture of it later and then they go, oh, fuck. You know, so next time you don't have to do it.
You do have the option also, yeah, if the picture of the wide picture of the rally is a bunch of white people on stage and just you in the front row going like this. I think that's a good image.
Yeah, your head blurry because you didn't stop shaking it.
Just make sure your neck bones are like nice and, you know, stretched out. Just no the whole time.
Thank you for your story.
Thank you so much.
I don't know.
I think about 7:20. I truly have no idea.
How are we on time, someone who's in charge?
Good.
Brent says good. I trust Brent with my life.
Yeah.
He saved us from almost not having a show.
Well, let's do one more voicemail, and then maybe if we're still feeling like we have time, we can do one last one from the crowd then. Who the fuck knows? Let's go.
Hi, I'm a 36-year-old black woman who goes to a multiracial church in the L.A. area. And we've been having a series of talks about difficult issues. And some of the people who come to those talks are older, more conservative white people who I love, the very small congregation. But when the notion of white privilege comes up, it can be a little bit sticky and some people can have reactions. But I personally do not want to let go of the term white privilege to describe the concept of white privilege to white people, but I just wanted to know what you guys think about that. So, thank you, Andrew, Tommy, and guests. I look forward to hearing what you guys think. Thanks a lot. Bye.
The term white privilege, I'm personally, I will say I'm actually tired of it. I'm like, you know, it's hard. It kind of like turns to mush in my mouth like it just did. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I know what you mean because
it feels boring.
It feels like the most base level just acknowledgement of like, it's like talking about literal oxygen.
Yeah.
So when white people talk about it in a way that's like they just heard of it 3 years ago, I'm kind of like, okay. Like, I'm just kind of like, yeah, what's the point of your story there?
You know? It feels to me like it's a little bit edging into becoming like saying African American, where you're like, that's not wrong exactly, but it kind of solidifies your viewpoint in like something.
Or just like you don't have any black friends if you say.
Well,
that.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that crazy? Am I being bonkers?
You're not crazy. I think also we're tired of it because we do this. I think.
What about this would make us tired of that phrase? Do you think?
I think maybe people who aren't in this space don't hear it or use it as much. So maybe it's still, I mean, clearly it's still ruffling these white people at this hippie church in LA.
I feel like white privilege is getting co-opted, but that's like everything is going to get co-opted. That's just what happens when something is a successful like movement or a phrase or an idea. Like it's going to get co-opted. People are going to try to spin it, whether it's microaggressions or whatever else. So, I mean, ultimately the thing really is white supremacy. And which is going to be a lot harder to co-opt, I think. But I do think it makes.
I'm trying though. Right? I'm going to do it.
You want white people to take back white supremacists, like we've taken back the N-word?
Yeah, dog.
Just use it, y'all.
Just try it.
I feel like white privilege, though, does like at least it opens up a certain conversation potentially. Mm-hmm. Like, what is privilege to you? Right? Like, we're not even talking about white privilege or male. Like, what is privilege to you? To have someone have that definition, here's what I didn't have, here's what other people had already, this is what I felt was unfair. And then to explain, well, this is what it feels like from this end in terms of privilege. Because I feel like the key term there is really initially just privilege. What is privilege? And I think anybody can understand that notion of like unfairness, you know.
Right, just different, your starting line for the race is at a different place than someone else. And everyone can acknowledge that, I would think. So maybe, I hate to tell this black woman to take the word white out of it just to make these people more comfortable.
Not initially. You're just like getting them into the idea of privilege. You're like, oh yeah, I get that concept. Now white. Like, right. I feel like, it, which is ridiculous, but at the same time, she said they were older. Like this, they. I mean, the thing I've noticed even on stage is you can only say white so many times to an audience. If there's depending on the you know the white people and how like that like invested they are in discussions about race. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm on stage, I'm like, oh shit, I used like six whites in the first 3 minutes. I'm gonna have to avoid the word white for at least 20 minutes. Do some material about the environment or some shit.
It doesn't
then, like,
help that you hit that big bell every time you say it, and then the lights go off though, because your act is a little like that.
I think that the rest of us are so used to being named that I think a lot of white people aren't used to being named. So every time they get named, it's like a little bit of a poke, and it's like yeah, we're just used to it now. Just feel like we're just getting poked. That's just what it's normal to us. So I feel like, to me, like this isn't the part of me that's like this is bullshit. This is I hate to have to explain. This is the part of me like in this situation that she's chosen to engage in because she still wants to bring it up. This isn't like everybody has to do this, but in the situation that she's engaging in with two people she said she still loves because it's a small congregation. That seems like the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's different if it's at work. It's like, I don't need to do this shit. Yeah. But she's, like, actively, like, I want to do this.
Yeah, this is a community that she's part of and built and choosing to stay part of.
Yeah. I think at least talking about what privilege is as a concept outside of just specifically white privilege, because class privilege is a thing, male privilege is a thing. Like, there's all sorts of privileges that, like, play out. So let's...
So many. Maybe y'all could play a game where y'all just go around and name all your privileges, and whoever has the most at the end buys lunch. I don't fucking know. Just be like, oh, shit, well, damn. I guess it's me.
Tony is selling this game at the merch table. It's like a
from
deck
the makers of Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. Here's all the shit that I am. I'm buying lunch.
Because depending on who you're sitting with, I mean, I'm joking, but depending on who you're sitting with, you could suddenly blink and be like, oh, fuck, middle class family, able body, college, fuck, I'm the oppressor, shit. Let's go to Applebee's.
I got lunch. Fuck it. Okay, let's do one more from the crowd. Let's see. Okay, I feel like you've been very visible because I can't see very many people.
You've been very visible, ma'am. Congratulations. Hi, friend.
Hi. Okay, there we go. Okay, so I go to high school. And
hell yeah, the
youth. Oh shit. Sorry for the swears.
White.
Talk closer to the mic.
My school is 65% white. I'm not white. I'm biracial. So, like, my freshman year, I'm a senior now, but freshman year, like, we didn't have Black History Month. We had Kindness Month. So,
what?
And then last year, we, like, made the Seattle Times for our racist newspaper, and then our next newspaper was even more racist, trying to apologize for it. They just found some Black kids and put a picture of some Black kids at our school on the cover, and then had some white kids be like, we're not racist, see? So my school's basically like, I go to Roosevelt. I'm not afraid to
say that.
Names.
We love narking out people's specifics.
Important to note, though, she did say she was a senior.
Yeah,
so.
You're about to be out. Okay.
Who cares?
But now, so we just got back to school this week, and I'm like, I'm on our BSU, which for the white people that don't know what that is, that's the Black Student Union. I'm the president of EPWRD, which is our feminism club.
Yeah.
We've got... we used to have American flags in our hallway, and they're gone now, and instead we've got these different murals, like, and one of them, like, says welcome in a ton of different languages, and then one of them says Black Lives Matter, which is, like, a really great theory. Like, yes, they do. My life matters. But, like, it feels really disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
from
right?
From the school that did two racist newspaper covers, I don't see what you
three.
Mean.
They actually did a third one after that.
All of this is going into your college entrance essay.
Actually, yes, it is.
How I fucking escaped. It's like your escape from LA, escape from Alcatraz screenplay that you write.
Kindness Month? Was it Kindness Month?
Yes.
So the other 11 months are just
that's
hell.
That's rough. Unkindness 11 months. It sounds about right, actually. That's high school.
Punch your friends.
It was better than that. They said they just forgot it was Black History Month.
No one forgets. No one forgets. Every fucking commercial has Mary J. Blige on it in February. You can't forget.
I also like, that means adults had to sit around and be like, shit, we said Kindness Month. How are we going to fix this? Oh, we just spaced.
We just forgot.
Do you get mad when, like organizations try to fix their racism with like flags and shit like that? Is there something there to that?
It's just, I mean, it's all just the easy way out.
Yeah.
It's just the like, here's the symbol that looks good, and it's, I mean, just a few bucks to get a. To get a flag.
Yeah.
It's just like the Black Lives Matter, like the fact they put that up after all this, it's like you forgot black people existed last February and now they matter to you because you just discovered them.
Yeah.
Like what is this? Like it's just such bullshit. Did anybody like, is there a student run paper where the students actually write what they want to write?
That was the student run paper.
Okay, that's great.
Cool school.
Yeah,
cool
school. The advisor doesn't actually have a say over what gets released. He was like with the cover, he was like, this is racist, and they were like, we don't think it is. We're gonna release it.
Tight.
So it's just your terrifying peers.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Okay.
Man, this also ruins the whole theory of like the next generation will be better and will die off.
Oh
like,
my god.
The die off theory is completely.
Oh, I think that is fully bullshit. I think that's the most wishful thinking is us imagining that racist ass kids don't exist.
Like, right.
Kids are terrible.
Yeah.
Kids are terrible. Not you. You're great.
Well, you're a girl.
Thank you again. Thanks for the question.
Oh, my Lord. Well, the future is sad. Is that how we're ending this show?
Oh, hell yeah. The future is destroyed. We're destroying the planet.
Look, here's
the racist now. Okay.
These people come here for their weekly dose of flagellation
so
that they then can feel good, Andrew.
Yeah. You guys are all cleansed of your racism sins.
At the merch table, we'll be passing out those little crackers you put on your tongue. Who were the people who said, I don't want it in my hand, I want you to touch my mouth? I went to a Catholic church for like 10 weeks and I was like, who are these people? Who wants someone's hand in their mouth?
Wait, so the thing that the...
You can go hand or direct to mouth.
Huh.
With the priest's hand. I don't understand it.
And the cracker is Jesus.
That's Jesus' body.
Huh. Yeah.
Just put it in your hand.
Yo, Catholics nasty. That's too much. Holy shit. Okay, so everyone's racism sins are fully absolved. That's the important thing. Hari, do you feel cleansed of your racism? Of all the racism that you brought into this room?
Now, here's how this works, though, man. When you're up here, though, like, you're not absolved. You're the one who's taking on all the... Like, the priest isn't the one who's absolving... Like, he's not absolving himself. Well, they are absolving themselves of sin, but, like...
Every time we delve into amateur theology so far tonight, it's been a fucking slam-a-dunk guy.
I mean, I don't know. I don't feel any cleaner, no.
Yeah,
no.
I feel significantly grimier.
I feel really sad that the dog thing was humorous to me. I'm like, well, that's fun if we're doing questions like that. But then, like, the thing about the high school bummed me out. And then like, the end of the world just won't come soon enough, you know?
Oh, my God.
You have some notes for our running order for the evening. Huh? You wanted dog. We should have ended on dog.
I mean, that is, it's such a goofy question.
Okay, how about this real quick? Does anyone have a funny, quick question or comment so that we can end this with happiness? And
funniest
laughter?
Racism.
Come on.
Who's got the funniest
you right
racism?
There, yeah. Come down. Give this person a hand. Your
Hello.
Funniest racism. Go.
Okay. I am a black tattoo artist, and I need strategies to get more black folk in the tattoo shop.
Oh, shit.
Strategies to get black people in the tattoo shop. Okay, you need a sign that says, it'll show up, I promise. Because we've been told it won't, so we just don't go. Other pitches.
Oh, you had to do the slam dunk first.
Andrew, I'm an organic improviser. I don't know what's a slam dunk.
I mean, obviously, advertising in this particular room is not going to be your best bet.
I think we should encourage more white people to get tattoos until they're basically people of color is the hope. Just keep getting them.
Blackface tattoos.
You're advocating for permanent blackface.
In Portland, it's weird. Portland's so white that when I see a white person with face tattoos, I consider them a person of color.
They fucking get it.
This might be more legwork than you want to do, but like, you gotta find the black people in those subset communities. Like, you gotta go to the punk shows and find like the me. And I know there's a lot of punk shows in Seattle, so you gotta find the black people that are there, even though there might only be a couple, and just like connect with them on Instagram. You know, you gotta find people in the subset countercultures that are just people of color there.
And be like, I'd like to mark your skin forever.
Yeah.
Give me
How
a
do we
shot.
Make that happen?
Give me a fucking shot. I don't know. I my brain is so fucking fried. I actually really like your sign advice.
Oh, just tell them.
It'll show up here.
It'll show up, I promise.
Yeah.
Different colors will work, we swear.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Try that. also, just like I bet if you go to barbershops and salons and stuff, you're making a face like you tried that. It didn't work? It didn't work. Why? Because black people are kind of conservative about body shit? It was a lot of, I'm not a stripper.
See,
black people, we got some internalized problems with things that we think make us look trashy because ultimately we've constantly been trying to clean up and brighten up for the white gaze. That is a problem we have for sure. I think you got to just be like, I'll tattoo something on you that says, I'm very classy, please hire me.
Just like a resume. Tattoo the resume onto the chest. I mean, like, working backwards, it's like SoundCloud rappers, that means white kids are going to routinely have face tattoos in about 10 years.
Yep.
And those white kids are going to grow up and start getting jobs in about 10 years after that.
Yep.
So in about 20 years, it'll just be like the mainstream easy thing to do. And that's when everyone will need it just to get a goddamn job. Face tattoos.
I hope we all need face tattoos soon.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. God damn it. Hari, tell people you got a show coming up.
I still have my Netflix special, Warn Your Relatives, is still available, shot at the Neptune in Seattle. And this is going to be for the radio audience. I'm 98 years old. This is going to be on radio?
So tune.
This is AM or FM?
Yes. Yeah, this is for the radio.
Is this before or after Bob and Ray?
This is for the hi-fi.
I'll be touring the country. I'll be performing. So if you go to harikundabolu.com, there's a list of tour dates. More realistically, you're going to be going to google.com, mm-hmm. writing Indian comedian tour dates. You'll then see a bunch of brown faces, and you're going to guess it's me, and you'll find my tour dates. Or, you know, you'll see Kumail or whatever. So
I feel like you're more consistently in glasses, so people will know they saw you.
Oh, my God, you'd be surprised. The number of, oh my God, I loved you in Adventure Time. It's like, that's Kumail. Somebody we get confused all the time, and it's weird because we have completely different faces.
Yeah.
Which is
a weird part.
Historically, that's the giveaway, that two people aren't the same.
Yeah.
But did you notice your skin was almost only four or five shades different?
See, that's the thing I've learned over time, is you really need to look at facial detail, mm-hmm. and not just skin color. Because with skin color,
you've learned that over time?
Over time, I've realized that there's a billion of us. So if you go by skin color, it's going to get really confusing.
Yeah.
So the facial details are a clue that perhaps there are different genetics involved in different people.
And what would some of those facial details be?
I have a different nose than him.
Ah.
I have different eyes than him.
Ah.
My lips are thicker. My hair is considerably better. I have... That's not about Kumail. That has to do with my hair.
No, let's all drag Kumail. What else?
I don't. I love Kumail. I just think objectively my hair is better. That has nothing to do with... He got an Oscar nomination. I have this hair, okay? Let's.
We should have talked about this, like, face and not skin tone thing before the show. I think now it makes a lot more sense.
I feel like it's a fundamental thing that has to be addressed from, I think, the beginning of every episode to just remind people it's important that you look at faces and see people as individuals and not primarily by their skin color. Because that isn't a, hey, are you? No, that is not that person because you just looked at their skin color. Didn't pay attention to their facial features.
I think we've successfully written a new fucking intro, which is perfect. So now we can start the show. Are you guys ready to listen to
Yeah, are your chairs hard enough?
Oh my God. No, guys, thank you so much for being here. This has been fucking incredible. I've never done a show in a church.
I have. This was better.
Thank you to Hari Kondabolu for being here. I'm Andrew T.
Thank you, Seattle. Get someone to clean up your gum wall. So gross.